All right, welcome back to Ask the Pastor. And with us today, for a lot of people who are expecting and wondering, okay, if they say it might not be the usual pastor, who is it going to be actually? We have with us our daddy and our brother and our friend and a teacher of the word, most importantly, Pastor Moses Alu. God bless you, sir.
Shalom, Brother Ebuka. Shalom to the Bride TV crew. Shalom to the Bride of Christ worldwide. And particularly shalom to those sending your offerings and supporting this channel of preaching the gospel with your finances, supporting us, those supporting us through your prayers, intercessions. I say shalom to you all. If you are joining us for the first time, shalom is the Hebrew word for peace of the Lord. I say shalom to you. That is peace of the Lord be with you. Welcome to our Bible study session. We call it Ask the Pastor. It's an interactive program, and I pray that the knowledge of God will be given to us to help us understand better this divine agenda. We can always know better. We can always be better in the knowledge of God. And remember that the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ is revealed from faith to faith. Our salvation is revealed from faith to faith, from revelation to revelation, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little. And the picture is formed that will help us understand how to walk with God and help our expectations properly aligned up. It is doctrinal issues, Bible study, understanding scriptures, understanding the divine agenda. And I pray that by the end of today's program, you will not regret spending this moment with us in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So stay tuned and be blessed.
We have good news from Canada. Says, Shalom, Pastor. When the Old Testament saints rose up from their graves in Matthew chapter 27, verse 52, did God give them the Holy Ghost? I believe Jesus must have given them the Holy Ghost, because no Holy Ghost, no heaven. Brother, good news from Canada.
Sure, certainly. Not just the Holy Ghost that God gave them. God gave them another body. And that body that he gave is the immortal body. For he said, immortality shall mortality shall put on immortality. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. So certainly the Bible assures us in Romans 8 verse 11. He said, if the spirit of him that rose up Christ from the dead dwells in you, what did he say will happen?
So he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies.
So
by his spirit that
dwelleth in you. So he must have given them the spirit for that body change to take place. So you are correct, brother from Canada.
Okay, brother, good news. Okay, we start with brother, good news. Let's see, have other questions coming in. And we have this order. It says, Shalom, Pastor, and our brother. Shalom. I thank God for locating. Okay, for thank God for locating this church, which was a mystery how it happened. I thank God. What a blessing the Bride Radio is. Always on. We always connect to services. I also thank God for the life of our brother, our pastor, Pastor Moses. More grace to you. My question is, okay, when someone does spiritual warfare prayers, the person gets dreams of animals trying to attack. This is when prayers is going on, okay? Okay, I think that has to do with a specific person. Okay, we can still take question two. Let's see if it's the same thing. Say, what causes a person at times to have directed dreams from God, but as they open their mouth to mention it, the dreams change and become not good at all? Okay, so perhaps
and number three. And
question three says, how can one know their calling? And this is brother or sister Williams from UK. The question one was actually was referring to having animals chasing, after having spiritual warfare.
If you listen to my teaching yesterday on demonology, spiritual warfare, I told you that demons are the instruments, the weapons that devils, these fallen angels, use to attack the children of God. Now you are doing warfare prayer. It's like you're in a battlefield. So you have thrown arrows at them. You are fighting them. Naturally, you will expect them to also react and fight back. Each time you do any warfare prayer, watch out for a reaction from the enemy. And that is why you are to put on the whole armor of God to be able to stand or withstand the wiles of the enemy. So exactly what we've been trying to teach yesterday. So expect it. But the truth there is that they never prevail. They never succeed because greater is he that is in us than he that is in them. Amen. Take note of that. But it's not strange. They expect them to fight back. Yes.
All right. Question two. So that I get exactly what the person was saying. It says, what causes a person at times to have directed dreams from God, that is a dream from God, but as they open their mouth to mention it, the dreams change and become not good at all?
I don't know that. It's not a principle. Maybe it's for you. Yeah. This will be something peculiar to you.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. And that is, you are one of the reasons I said, you remember, if Joseph did not open his mouth to tell that dream to his brethren, he would not have undergone all the trouble he went through. Yeah. The dream cannot be stopped, but before you get there, you will suffer unnecessarily. Yeah. Whether he said it or not, that was the destiny. Yeah. The same thing too, when you have a dream, why do you put your mouth and start saying it? Yeah. Before it comes to pass, devil will make sure you suffer, you know, before the dream comes to pass. So learn to keep silent and talk only when you are supposed to talk. Okay. And a dream is not a testimony. The dream is preparation for testimony.
Amen.
So wait until the testimony manifests before you give it out.
All right. So remember, the dream is preparation for testimony. It is not the testimony itself. And question three, he was referring to, how can one know his or her calling?
Your call, that is your part in the body of Christ. Yes. That is your call. Is determined by the gift that God has given you.
Okay.
Those are the talents in Luke chapter 19, also in Matthew 25. They are talents. So you can only serve God with the enablement he has given you. That is the grace, that is the gift. Okay. So your gift determines your ministry.
Okay. So we'll go to the caller. Sister Joy from Germany, God bless you and shalom. You're welcome online.
Okay, sir. God bless you, sir.
God bless you.
Yeah. Please, I have some serious questions to ask.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Yeah, my first one, sir, is about yesterday preaching. Please, do we have to shower for the 7 days during the prayer, or it was only for yesterday?
Do we have to do what?
Shower. Take a bath. That was the message you gave to that individual about showering and putting salt and oil. She probably thought it was...
It was not for everybody. That revelation was not for everybody. It was for a particular individual. And anybody who has a similar case. Any other person who had a similar case. But for us, for the 7 days, warfare prayer every night.
Yes, sir.
God bless you, Sister Joy.
God bless you, sir.
Did you pray last night? Did you pray last night?
Oh, yes, sir, I did, sir.
Did you enjoy the battle?
I would say yes, because I was really carried away, not just for 1 hour, but more than 3 hours, from 11 to 2, 3 a.m.
That means you enjoyed it. I'm happy to hear that. I said 1 hour minimum. It was 1 hour minimum. For lazy people, I just gave them 1 hour.
Oh, God, thanks to you, sir, because before I knew my new bride since last year, and before I knew bride, I don't even know how to pray a simple prayer. So bride has really helped me build up my spiritual life.
Wow. Now you pray 3 hours. Wow. Wow. And I wish you more grace. In the name of Jesus. God bless you. I love such testimonies.
Yes, sir. Okay. All right, Sister Joy, you can go with your other questions.
Okay, sir. My second question, sir, is that a pastor told me that it's not right for female ladies to lead prayers. Okay. For example, Sister Marathi leading prayer on the platform, that the fact that she is leading the men in prayer, that is against the will of God.
And which scripture did he give to back it up?
He actually gave me some scripture. I think there was 1 Corinthians or something, but I really did not record his scriptures. I'm sorry.
There is no scripture that supports that. It's just his own idea. You are hearing me now?
Yes, sir.
Now, when we stay in the church and there is a pastor, a brother behind the pulpit, and assigns a sister to do anything, it is not under the authority of the sister, it's under the authority of the man there. And
yes, sir.
I remember that it is a gift she's exercising. It's talking about platforms also.
Yes, sir.
She's using her gift. Now, is that a church? Is platform a church? Are people gathering? And, you know, is she leading? It's a platform. It's prayers. People will soon understand with the advent of social media and technology now that a lot of things, they kill themselves over in church order. They will soon discover that they're all man-made and the Spirit of God is moving on and ministering to his people. We're talking about fivefold ministry. And that is not part of the fivefold ministry. There's no thing like in among the fivefold ministers that include a prayer leader as an office. So why are they bringing it in? So don't mind that. It's just confusion. Don't mind them.
Yes, I tried to explain, but he said if that is right, then why is he not leading directly prayers as well? In open prayer in the church. So,
So what is your third question?
My third question is, I have a sister in Amsterdam, and she wants to be baptized. She has not found where to be baptized. Is there anyone that could help me?
Yeah. Wow.
Amsterdam.
Amsterdam, that is in Holland.
Well,
okay, maybe if you send us a text, we'll keep watching up. We used to have a brother there, but we lost his contact. I'll try to get his contact again. And please, if the brother is watching us now from Amsterdam, please, Brother Terry, and I've visited the church. We had programs there in Amsterdam a number of times. So if he's watching me now, please send, I hope the church is still on because I've not been in touch with him. But if you are watching me, please, Brother Terry, give me a call. People want to come for water baptism. God bless you, sister. Send me a text with your phone number. We'll get in touch and call you back.
All right. God bless you, Sister Joy from Germany. And still ask the pastor. All right. So we have other questions coming in. And this is from Akwa Ibom State, Brother Emedion. From Akwa Ibom State. So it's God bless you, Pastor. Please, sir, what does the silence in heaven in Revelation chapter 8, verse 1 mean? Does it have anything to do with Jesus vacating the mercy seat? Brother Emedion from Akwa Ibom State.
Actually, I have personally also thought that it is the silence is Jesus Christ. Vacating
the mercy seat.
Well, it is only implied. Okay. It's implied because as soon as there is silence, verse 2, immediately we see angels preparing to sound the vials, judgment coming in. And we know this judgment will come in only after the mercy seat is over. So it could be the transition period from mercy to, from the day, an acceptable year of the Lord to the day of vengeance, as the Bible calls it, or the day of the Lord. Yes, so we imply so. We imply so.
All right. God bless you, Brother Emedion. So we move on to other questions as they come in. And we have this, which says, Shalom, Pastor. I'm a bit mixed up in my theology regarding 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16, perhaps due to your revised teachings on this subject. Can you please help me connect the dots? I understand the shout is in line with Matthew chapter 25, verse 6. It started in Luther's day and continued until this day. Can you please give a synopsis of what is the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and when this will be fulfilled within the divine agenda? Thanks and God bless you. We didn't really get the name.
Trump.
Okay. So actually asking for an explanation.
Brother Chris from the Netherlands.
Brother Chris from the Netherlands.
Is he the one that's asking?
Yes, yes. That's the name that appeared.
Is it Brother Chris from the Netherlands?
Yes, Brother Chris from the Netherlands.
Okay, our customer.
So he's asking for a clearer understanding of the trump.
So what the voice of the archangel, which archangel is that? The archangel of Revelation chapter 10 definitely is what is being referred to there. So
verse 7.
In the divine agenda, after the shout, the shout finishes the ministry for the living. Jesus Christ preaches to the living. After he preached to the living, we see the pattern. When he died, he descended to the lower earth, and his ministry continued among the dead. And we saw that it ended with them
rising up.
I mean, coming out of the grave when he resurrected with him. So you discover in Revelation chapter 10, the mighty angel is the archangel. He stands up. That lets you know that he stands up from somewhere, certainly from the mercy seat. And I remember a rainbow is upon his head, and he's the messenger of the covenant. Everybody knows that. Malachi chapter 4 lets us, I mean chapter 3, lets us know that he's the messenger of the covenant. And so that is Christ. Stands up from the mercy seat and cried, verse 3.
Okay.
And cried with a loud voice.
As when a lion roars. And when he had cried, seven thunders altered their voices. And when the seven thunders had altered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders altered, and write them not.
Yes.
And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth, and the things that therein are, and the sea, and the things that therein, that are, which are therein, that there should be time no longer.
But my emphasis is, he was about to write, and the angel told him not to write. And why will he not write? He saw what was going on, what was going to happen, but he was forbidden from writing it. That simply means, whatever the seven thunders ministry was all about, it had nothing to do with the living. It has to do with the dead. So, and after he has preached to the dead, then The next one is the trump of God that wakes up. That is fulfilling 1 Corinthians chapter 15.
Okay.
1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 52.
Okay.
In fact, 51 and 52.
Okay, 51 says, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump."
Can you see?
"For the trumpet shall sound."
That is that third stage. Mm. So the shout, beginning from Luther up till William Branham, is the shout. Restoration. Then the archangel is the voice of the archangel is the seven thunder ministry to the dead, and then the trumpet sounds, and what will happen?
And the dead in Christ shall rise.
Read it.
First Corinthians 15:52 says, "The dead shall be raised incorruptible."
Read again verse 52.
Okay, "In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound."
That is the trump. There, when it sounds, what happens?
"And the dead shall be raised incorruptible."
And then what?
"And we shall be changed."
And we shall be changed. And that is what you see in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4.
Verse 16 says, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds."
That will go by a change. After that change, we now join them and go. I hope I have connected the dots, brother Chris. Say I should connect the dots. Or do you want me to include comma and question mark? God bless you, Brother Chris.
All right, God bless you, Brother Chris from the Netherlands. Okay, we have a caller. Brother John from
Shalom, Oyo. Pastor.
Shalom and God bless you, sir.
Yeah, shalom, Pastor.
God bless you, Brother John.
Yes, sir. God bless you too, sir. From the teaching of yesterday, sir. Could it be possible that someone will be have Holy Spirit and then can still be possessed of the demon?
We have answered that question several times on this program. We said the Holy Ghost has to do with your soul.
Yes, sir.
The last deliverance we shall have will be from this flesh. And this flesh can still fall sick. No matter what dose of Holy Ghost you have, it can be infected, you can fall sick. You can even be mentally affected. It has nothing to do with the soul. But we have a promise to fight a battle that will give us peace while we are still trapped in this flesh until we are changed in a moment. And that is the word of God that promises us victory. We overcome by the blood of the Lord. So it's a battle. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffered violence. And the violent taketh it by force is violent faith, possessing your possession. That is why we got the revelation of spiritual warfare. We our battle, and this battle is for those who already have the Holy Ghost. It's not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. I hope you understand.
Yes, sir. Even if somebody is still experiencing one work of flesh too.
You're experiencing the works of flesh, carnality.
Yes, sir.
Yes, of course. That is not within you now. If you yield yourself to this flesh, then that the works of the flesh, Galatians chapter 5, lets us know. The spirit lusted after the flesh. These two cannot be together. And the Bible tells us that they that are carnal, the carnal person can never please God. So we are to walk in the spirit so that we shall not fulfill the lusts of this flesh. God bless you.
Thank you, sir. God bless you, sir.
Thank you, Brother John.
All right, God bless you, Brother John, and thank you for calling in. All right, we have other questions that are coming in, and this question says, Shalom, man of God, my name is Brother Goswill.
You didn't say man of God, it's okay. A mug.
Ebuj.
A mug. So, Shalom, mug.
Yes. My name is Brother Goswill from Owerri. And my question is this, the sheep nations that will be saved during the judgment of nations, were they not among the nations that received the mark of the beast? Since it is only Israel that will vehemently resist the Antichrist during the tribulation period, will God just accept them because of their hospitality to the Jews and give them the millennial kingdom, and not looking at them having received the mark of the beast? Okay, question two is saying, is there any possibility that the foolish virgins will not receive the mark of the beast and then die for Christ during the great tribulation? Because it is clear that they are not going in the rapture. Shalom.
Well, after the rapture, the only group we see that will be spared and then allowed to be in the millennium, they are those who will, during the persecution of the Jews, the time of Jacob's trouble, Jeremiah called it so, or that great tribulation period. Yeah. Within that period, I want you to note the language that is used there in Revelation chapter 12. Yeah. I want you to note that's the way I love the beautiful way. The language that is put there. Now verse 13 and verse 14.
It says, and when the dragon saw that he was cast onto the earth,
yes,
he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man child.
Uh-huh.
And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness,
uh-huh,
into her place, uh-huh, where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time,
mm-hmm,
from the face of the serpent. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood.
That's after the 3.5 years of tribulation for Israel.
That he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood,
yes,
which the dragon cast out of his mouth.
Now, so I want you to understand that it was God himself that prepared that place for them. Do you know that there was a time of famine in Israel, and Elijah, the widow of Zarephath,
yeah.
Jesus Christ said there were other widows in Israel, but it was a particular widow he went to in Zarephath.
Yeah.
And when he was talking to Elijah, he told him, he said, it was Elijah.
Yeah,
he
Elijah.
Said,
Elijah
he said, he said, I have prepared a widow there for you. He has prepared a woman there, a widow for him,
yeah,
where he was sending her to.
Yeah.
The woman didn't hear the voice of God.
Yes,
there was no discussion with God. Yeah. But God said that he has prepared. Now, when the time of tribulation will come, God will put in the heart of some nations,
mm-hmm,
to have compassion,
okay,
for Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And I want you to note, the person asking the question says, we do not have taken the mark of the beast.
Yes.
I want you to note that that tribulation period is mainly for the Jews. It's mainly for the Jews. The Antichrist, for instance, has no control, influence over Far East, China, Asian countries. His own ends in the Europe and the media surroundings. So I want Christians to take note of that. Now, the question is, there's a way to put the question. That means they did not take the mark of the beast.
They did not take the mark of
that means they will not take the mark of the beast.
Is it because of that that God is going to allow
it,
them?
It is
that because is, their hospitality.
It is only it is their hospitality that qualifies them not to have eternal life.
Okay.
It is okay. Not eternal life. It spares them from the destruction of the day of the Lord.
Okay.
They will be among the few men that will be left.
To repopulate the earth.
And the purpose is to repopulate the earth where we are coming to rule.
Okay.
Okay.
And those who will repopulate will still be tried again.
And then that's why they too will have to be tried again in Revelation chapter 20.
Okay.
And then his other question.
His other question was concerning the foolish virgin. Is it possible that they will receive the mark?
That is that there is no provision given scripturally for this group known as the foolish virgins
to die for Christ.
Your foolishness leads you to perdition,
okay.
Leads you to destruction.
Okay.
So, I mean, the door is locked. They don't go in the rapture. What else? They face the consequence on earth here.
Oh. All right. I trust somebody doesn't want to be part of the foolish virgins. All right, Sister Ruth from Taraba State, Nigeria. God bless you. You're on Ask the Pastor.
Okay. Hello.
You can go on with your question.
God bless
Sister
you, Sister Ruth.
Good evening, sir. I'm Ruth calling from Taraba, Wukari.
You are welcome.
Sir, it's a pleasure really having you because right here where we are, because of how the old crisis and everything is, we don't have opportunity of meeting for things like this.
Amen.
I started watching Bright TV and I'm really fascinated, but it's unfortunate that half of our community have not been getting or listening to this end time messages. I'm really happy and grateful for seeing you and listening.
Amen.
So I want to ask concerning, I have two questions. Like one, concerning a woman not being a pastor.
Yes.
And this our area where we are, there are so many churches here that women are the ones pastoring the church.
Yes.
And I'm sure we have not heard this kind of message before for us to get the understanding of this whole thing.
Yes.
Because we are lacking behind in this place. Then number two, concerning earrings. You guys know, like we from the north, how they honor earrings and necklace and other things.
Okay.
Even though there are deeper lives here and other churches that don't wear it. But we've not gotten the scriptural understanding of it to know the effect if God permits this thing or not. And I'll be so glad to get the understanding and the knowledge of it from you, sir.
Okay, Sister Ruth. Women preachers, women pastors, if you look at scriptures that will make this clear for us, are you with us?
Yes, sir.
Okay,
I
will rush it so that you don't chop too much of your credit.
Badamuako. Yes, sir.
Badamua, okay. Badamua to Kibude, 1 Timothy chapter 2.
So.
Kibude.
Yes, sir.
Okay, Kije, I am Shabu. Shad
air. Okay, he said.
Verse 11.
Okay, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11.
Uh-huh.
Yes, sir, I'm there, sir.
What does he say? Let the woman learn in silence with all subjection. This learning here is learning the scriptures, not learning in University of Taraba.
Okay.
Now verse 12, then he said, but I permit not, I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. Now this teaching is not teaching in Wukari Secondary School. It's teaching the word of salvation in the church. It is church order. Now this is the reason. He said you cannot have authority over the man. It is the kingdom of heaven. In our own kingdom, this is how it operates. When you are a Christian, we have come into the kingdom where Christ is the king. And we have our laws. And these are our laws. In the hierarchy here, a woman cannot have authority over the man. And pastor and the office of authority is in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. He gave some apostle, correct?
Yes, sir.
And some prophet, and some evangelist, that is verse 11, and some pastor and teacher. Now, the first office there, some apostle. Was there, or did Christ call any woman apostle?
No.
There was no woman among the apostles. And even when Judas killed himself, and they still needed to be 12, did they bring Mary Magdalene and all those women that were close to Jesus? Did they replace?
No, no.
What did they do? They brought another woman, correct? Another man, Matthias, to replace Judas. And then, and also, if you go to the Old Testament, in the Old Testament, a whole tribe among the 12 tribes of Israel, a whole tribe called Levi, they gave all the other tribes land, their possession, their inheritance, but they said the tribe of Levi, they reserved them to be ministering at the temple only, correct?
Yes, they are the priesthood.
They are in the priesthood. Now, certainly, Levi had also women, female children of Levi, correct?
Yes, sir.
But did you ever see a female priestess in the Old Testament?
None of them.
Now, the reason is 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 13.
Verse
14.
It says, for Adam was first formed, then Eve.
So what it says is that in creation, Adam, the man, was formed before the woman was formed. So the man is the senior in creation. Correct?
Yes, sir.
Now, verse 14 is the second reason.
And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in transgression.
So what it's saying is taking us back to the original sin, that the word of God was given to both the man and the woman. It was the woman that messed it up. And now the restoration is taking place. So God removed the word from the woman, left it only with the man. And remember, among the punishment, he said her desire would be to him. She became no more equal with the man. She is now to be subjected to the man. So we see in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, he said the head of the woman is the man. That is the hierarchy in the kingdom. Therefore, a woman cannot come and occupy the position of authority and instructing men on the things of salvation. It is not permitted in a true church.
Okay.
Is that clear?
Yes, sir.
And your second question is concerning jewelry.
Yes.
Concerning jewelry. Now, I will jump because of time. If you go to Exodus chapter 21, now let me, first and foremost, before we go there, I want us to open Leviticus first. Let me go to Leviticus first, chapter 19,
okay,
and verse 28.
Verse 28, it says,
listen, Sister Ruth, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Okay, verse 28. Hear what he said.
Ye shall not make any curtains in your flesh for the dead.
No.
Nor print any marks upon you. I am the Lord.
So to put any mark on your body like tattoo and, you know, put hole in your ear and all these, the Lord said you must not do it. His children, you must not do it. And when a girl is given birth to, she doesn't come forth with a hole in her ear.
No.
So if you decide to put a hole in the ear of a girl child, you are disobeying the scripture. Now, secondly, are you with me, Sister Ruth?
Yes, sir.
Okay, fine. Now, in Exodus chapter 21, Now, in Exodus chapter 21, this was an ordinance. The ordinance is This is from verse 1. Listen very well.
It says, now these are the judgments which thou shalt set before them. If thou buy an Hebrew servant, 6 years he shall serve, and in the seventh he shall go out free for nothing. If he came in by himself, he shall go out by himself. If he were married, then his wife shall go out with him. If his master have given him a wife, and she have borne him sons or daughters, the wife and her children shall be her masters, and he shall go out by himself. And if the servant shall plainly say, I love my master.
Now listen very well, verse 5 and verse 6 is my emphasis.
And if the servant shall plainly say, I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go out.
That is the master say, you want to remain a slave. I mean, the slave say, I want to remain a slave. I don't want freedom. What will happen?
Verse 6, then his master shall bring him unto the judges. He shall also bring him to the door or unto the doorpost. And his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall serve him forever.
So, in Israel, therefore, if you see anybody with earring going on the street, who is the person? It's a slave that refused freedom. And you know that, you know, Ishmael was the son of a slave, correct?
Yes, sir. Hagar.
Oh, very good. Now, if you go to Judges chapter 8, listen to verse 22.
Okay. Judges chapter 8 from verse 22 says, then the men of Israel said unto Gideon, rule thou over us, both thou and thy son and thy son's son also, for thou hast delivered us from the hand of Midian.
Uh-huh.
And Gideon said unto them, I will not rule over you,
uh-huh,
neither shall my son rule over you.
Yes.
The Lord shall rule over you.
Uh-huh.
And Gideon said unto them.
Now, note verse 24 now, Sister Ruth.
And Gideon said unto them, I would desire a request of you, that ye would give me every man the earrings of his prey. For they had golden earrings because they were Ishmaelites.
So Ishmaelites were known for wearing a ring, because Ishmael was the son of a slave.
Yes.
Correct? So, if you go to Genesis chapter 35, from verse 1, listen very well.
And God said unto Jacob, arise, go up to Bethel, and dwell there, and make thee an altar unto God, that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau thy brother.
Uh-huh. Now listen to verse 2. Now what Jacob said.
Then Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him, put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean and change your garments. And let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I will make thee an altar unto God.
You are going to worship God.
Who answered me in the day of my distress, and was with me in the way which I went.
Now listen to the strange things that they gave before they go to the presence of God. Verse 4.
And they gave unto Jacob all the strange gods which were in their hands,
uh-huh,
and all their earrings.
All their earrings.
Which were in their ears.
Uh-huh.
And Jacob hid them under the oak, which was by Shechem.
So, earring is strange to Israel. Earring is strange to the Christian faith, Sister Ruth.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
It's strange. Very, very strange, Sister Ruth. So, I want
because
you to take...
Because the interpretation they gave to this verse 4 over here, they said, that means do away with your iniquity. If you have issues with somebody sexually, if you
yes,
have
that is
somebody. Make
no,
sure peace,
no, we have it. It is church order. I also want you to note that there is also concerning women preacher. There is a scripture that is very important that I forgot to quote. Galatians chapter 3. They always quote that scripture, and in Galatians chapter 3, verse 26, from verse 26 to 28.
For ye are all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ.
Yes.
There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus.
And verse 29.
And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed.
Now this,
and heirs according to the promise.
This one that we are, neither male nor female slave, is talking about the fact that We are all children of God now. No more discrimination. But there is an order for leadership of all these children together. Only the man will lead and not the woman. They will also tell you about Deborah. Now, Deborah was a political leader and not a leader in priesthood and leading them in the temple. I want them to note that. Was not a spiritual leader. She was a political leader. God bless you. And even if we go to Isaiah, let this be my last scripture for you. In, I think, Isaiah chapter 10 or so. Isaiah. If we are in the book of Isaiah chapter 10. Is it chapter 10 or chapter 3? Now, verse 12. Chapter 3, verse 12.
Okay, 3, verse 12. Verse 12 says,
look at the condition. Look at the condition.
As for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. Oh, my people, they which lead thee cause thee to err and destroy the way of thy path.
It's even shameful for Israel to have women leading them even politically. That is what the scripture is saying. So when it comes to leadership in the church order is the man, the woman must subject herself to the man, both at home and in the church. A woman cannot rule over the man. So for a woman to go and answer Reverend Doctor and Pastor in church, and then men are sitting there, they are calling her mommy, 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 mommy. Even there is no mommy. It's error. It's error. In that, come on, so the maternal, that is my mommy, Gio. Okay, God bless you, Sister Ruth. So many other calls are coming in. Thank you. Thank you.
All right, God bless you, Sister Ruth. And I believe a lot of eyes have been enlightened. Okay, we have another question coming in. And this is Brother G. He doesn't want to tell us the full name. Okay, Brother G from Lagos, Nigeria. Says, Shalom, sir. I bless the Lord for making me to locate the Bride Assembly. I have two questions. And one, from your teachings, you said there is the fourth walk of grace, which is revelatory knowledge. How do you reconcile that with Matthew chapter 13, verse 33? And question two, in your teaching on rapture, what you said that the fig tree in Matthew chapter 24, verse 32 to 33, is not just the nation of Israel. Please, sir, clarify.
Brother Gabriel Onyejaka, you are the one asking this question. And it's very clear. Go back to the tapes. Go back to the message. Revelatory knowledge is actually the first work of grace. It's the first work of grace, Brother Gabriel Onyejaka. It's the first work of grace, not the fourth work of grace. You begin by revelation first before you go to justification. And then you submit yourself for sanctification and the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now, the fig tree in Matthew
24, verse 32
now,
to 33 says, okay. Now learn a parable of the fig tree when his branch is yet tender.
Now, just before I come, 24 verse 32. Now, I want you to note that if you are going to understand verse 32 from verse 32, you must get the complete context of what Christ was teaching right from the question I was asked Christ in Verse 3
says, and as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?
And it is the answer he was giving them from verse 3, false prophecies, nation rising against nation, pestilences, trouble everywhere we come. And they will deliver you all, persecution will come upon you. He continued and then gave, when you will see the abomination spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, and then it told you what to do. And then the time will come, they will say, behold, he is here. He said, don't go there. This is how the coming of the Lord be. He explained it. Mm. And then immediately after that tribulation of those days, yes, he stated what will happen. Mm. The sun will be darkened. The moon will not give her light. Mm. And so on. Then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in the heaven coming in his glory. Mm. Then he now came to verse 32. Yeah. What did he say?
Now learn a parable of the fig tree.
Now he's talking about a parable of the fig tree. The fig tree, he's using it symbolically to explain something. Go ahead.
Okay.
When the branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, then you see a fig tree and it putteth on leaves, what is it a sign? It's a sign that summer is nigh. Then he now says, so likewise, ye, when ye shall see all these things that ye spoke, know that it is near,
even at the doors.
We say that fig tree is Israel.
Yes, we've always said.
But in the context that is used here, it's only trying to tell you that all these things you see are signs of the soon coming of the Lord. Just as when you can interpret a fig tree.
Okay.
Just that is how you should also interpret these signs.
Okay.
And verse 34.
Verse 34, verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled.
And which generation was he referring to? The generation that will witness these signs. They will not pass away. They will see the fulfillment of these things that he spoke about. Yes, we can, among the signs, Israel is also referred to in the Bible as a fig tree. Among the signs of the soon coming of the Lord is the restoration of Israel.
Yes.
Therefore, you know,
part
of the signs. Okay. But what he's speaking here, the primary interpretation is, is using it as an analogy.
Okay.
If you are able to see a fig tree and you can predict that summer is nigh, so also when you begin to see these things he's talking about, when you see them fulfilling, just know that the coming of the Lord is nigh. And the generation that will see these things, it is that generation will not pass away till all these things be fulfilled.
All right, so we have another question. It says, Shalom, Sam, God bless you. I listened to the last Rapture Watch and I have two questions. You said that when Jesus talked of the blasphemy of the Holy Ghost, he was referring to the Jews, not the Gentiles. Today, there are a lot of people who blaspheme and don't believe the works of the Spirit. Is it not also a sin unto death?
That first question, first. Yeah. The reason it is blasphemy of the Holy Ghost, it's not just that it was the Jews.
That was just a scenario that was being
reflected. The Jews that crucified Jesus.
Yeah.
The Jews that crucified Jesus. There were many of them that crucified him because they had no revelation of who he is.
Yes.
No problem about that. Even he, Jesus, hanging on the cross, prayed for all of them. For they know not what they are doing. Father, forgive them. I remember every prayer Jesus prayed, the Father answered. Now, also, so, but these people that called him, that blasphemed the Holy Ghost, you know, that were calling him all manner of names, I mean to say, Jesus didn't say that they were blaspheming, that their sin is not forgivable.
Okay.
He was only warning that you can say these things here now, but the time is going to come when, for the reason that you are calling me Beelzebub now, you still repeat that. What is the reason? Is that it was out of envy. It is, they know who he was because Nicodemus was from them.
Yeah.
He said that we know that you are a teacher from God.
Yes.
And that no one can do this except God is with you.
Yes.
And why are you people now coming to say it's a devil that is working? It's envy.
Yeah.
Until today, if you say people are blaspheming the Holy Ghost, yes, but limit it to those who know it is God that is working in that ministry.
Mm-hmm.
But out of envy, they are calling what is happening there devil. They know that grace is from God. Yeah. I have been a victim of this name calling, and I had to warn them, and many of them have already passed the borderline, because some of them who were with me knew me very well, and when we disagreed, and they had to part their ways, their own way of thinking, they want to get at me and maybe scatter my ministry, was to go about enter message believers and begin to tell them that I acquired the power I was using was occultic power. And I acquired power from TB Joshua. I acquired power from Sele. I acquired power and all this. And I told them, remember, they are not faulting my doctrine. They are not faulting my teaching. Yeah. It is the anointing. And they know the anointing is genuine from God. Yeah. But to get at me and envy, they decide to scatter my ministry. They go to sow that kind of thing. They have crossed the borderline of mercy. Yeah. It is blasphemy of the Holy Ghost, and God will not forgive it, because you are crucifying Christ afresh. Yes. You know you shouldn't do that. You are doing it. Yeah. And watch all of them that participated in that nonsense. It is mystery, mystery, mystery. Their ministries refuse to stand till today. Yeah. All of them are pastors, are suffering, and I can't even pray for them, because, you know, he said, don't even pray for the sin unto death. That is the blasphemy of the Holy Ghost.
All right. Question two from the same person says, according to Hebrews chapter 6, verse 4, does it mean man of God or any believer should not seek for forgiveness if he falls into any sin? This brother.
What that second one says, what
says, according to Hebrews chapter 6 verse 4, does it mean a man of God or any believer should not seek for forgiveness?
He's saying is that they will not be able to. They will not be able to. They are gone and gone forever. There's nothing in them. A pig has gone back to his vomit. That is where he was initially. You were suffering. When he goes, he will find peace. He will enjoy it, because that's where he belongs. What he's saying is that, what else will you use to entice the person to come back? There's nothing. He has seen the gift, he has seen the grace, he has seen the power, he has seen the testimony, he has seen the reality of God, and he still turned back. What else will you use to drag him to come back? He says it's impossible to restore that person. So don't bother about it. That is the sin unto death.
All right. I know somebody needs to take a breather. So we're going to give you that few minutes to probably take that cup of water or relax yourself and meditate on what you have heard. We'll take a short break, and we'll be right back. Don't touch the dial. Still ask the pastor.